For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Looking below the line to see which roles you play in the dreaded drama triangle. While I reference Stephen Karpman and Lim Forrest in this talk, most of what I've learned about the dreaded drama triangle comes from David Emerald and Donna Zajanek. The dreaded drama triangle is a concept that was introduced by Stephen Karpman in the 1960s. And it's a model that outlines a dysfunctional social dynamic involving three different roles. The role of the victim, poor me. The role of a persecutor, it's all your fault. And the role of the rescuer, you need me to help you. So you probably have one of those roles that you gravitate to more frequently. I think I'm the rescuer most of the time. But you shift between these roles depending on the situation and who you're dealing with. There are roles that we play unconsciously, and sometimes we try to manipulate other people to play these roles. So if I'm a rescuer, I might manipulate other people to be the victim so I can rescue them. These roles are not referring to actual circumstances. We're not talking about a rescuer as a firefighter or a victim as a victim of crime. We're just talking about a role people play, not the actual circumstances. And what we're going to look at is the toxic nature of these roles and how they perpetuate unhealthy patterns of interaction and how they keep us stuck. These roles focus on fixing a problem, but their emphasis is on what they don't want or what they don't like. And you can't fix a problem with an emphasis on what you don't want and what you don't like. So when you do that, you actually see other people as a problem. So if I'm a rescuer, I might be seeing the person who I'm power of attorney as a victim that I need to save from herself rather than a person. And so I'm going to treat her very differently. So how did we start playing these roles? Well, our egos made up some strategies to manage our anxiety about things we didn't like or we didn't want. And at some point in our life, playing that role helped us to cope with whatever was going on. It may have even helped us to survive. But these roles can't be the only strategies you use in your life. Because if you are, it's going to keep you from becoming the best that you can be. It's not that they're bad. It's that they keep you from using more creative ways to deal with life's challenges. So if we can become aware of those roles as they arise, then we can transform them. Remember, if they're below the line, they're poking up at us. And we don't realize why we're feeling anxious or angry or irritable or restless, because it's all below our level of consciousness. But if we can bring it up above, we can choose what we want to do with it. We can choose how we want to deal with it. And so today we're really just going to look at the roles. And then next time we're going to look at how we can use mindfulness to help us transform these into more empowering roles. Because we can't change what we can't see. So we're going to try and observe these roles when they arise so we can shift that relationship we have with ourselves. And then we can choose how we want to respond to whatever drama it is that we're experiencing. So we'll start with the victim role. And the victim feels like the world is out to get them, that they're helpless, that they're unable to change their situation. Often their feelings of shame paralyze them. They come across as very sensitive, that we need kid glove treatment. And they don't take responsibility for their negative circumstances because they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. It's the world out to get them. They don't have the power to change their circumstances. And so instead of taking positive action, what they do is they seek out sympathy or support from others. Victims often have difficulty making decisions. So as I read this laundry list, it might tell you when you've been a victim when you listen to this. Have real difficulty making decisions. You know, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know. Solving problems. Finding much pleasure in life. Or understanding their self-perpetuating behaviors. So victims tend not to be very resilient. When you fall in a victim role, there's that deficiency story of I'm not good enough or I'm powerless to get what I want. So I've played the victim role in my life. Many times I've played that deficiency story. I'm not enough. You know, I think my marriage failed because I was feeling like I was not enough. And when I feel like I'm not enough, I do things so that I feel like I'm enough. I clean the house, I cook, I do whatever. But in my marriage, I was so busy taking care of the kids, working, cleaning, cooking, that I really had no energy left for my husband. And I definitely did not understand my self-perpetuating behavior. I didn't take responsibility for the negative circumstances. How could I have been doing something wrong when I was doing all the cooking, all the cleaning, all the taking care of the kids and working so hard and doing this and that? So I was doing to make myself feel good, but I wasn't there for everyone. Okay, and it also was that I couldn't make decisions. You know, if my husband said, where do you want to go to dinner? I'd be like, I don't care, wherever you want. Because I was afraid that I'd pick a place that he didn't want to go. You know, so I couldn't make, you know, at work I could make decisions like that all day long. But get home and ask me where I want to go for dinner, and I just like freeze, be paralyzed. And so that's the victim role. And it's an unconscious role. But once you bring it to the conscious level, I can now feel when my current husband says, where do you want to go for dinner? I can now feel that, ooh, there's that fear. Don't let it take control. It's okay for you to tell him what you want. And if he doesn't like it, he'll tell you, and that's okay too. So if you're aware of it, you can change it. The role I gravitate to most often though is rescuer. In order to feel like I'm enough, I'm driven by the need to help other people. And I often take on the role of solving problems for the victim. And while I did this out of a genuine desire to help, my intention, if I'm totally honest, is marbled with reinforcing my self-worth, feeling like if I help them out, then I'm a good person. And there's a lot of times where I helped without asking, and I offered help that really wasn't wanted or needed. And when you do that, you make the victim feel useless and helpless because they're seeing you communicate to them that you can't do this without me. So the stance of the rescuer is you need me to help you. The rescuer works hard to take care of other people and make sure other people feel good about themselves. They're so busy doing that they neglect their own needs. And thus they burn out and start feeling resentful. Can't tell you, I went through lots of different jobs where at the beginning everyone thought I was wonderful and I got all sorts of praise and I did all sorts of things, and then people just kind of expected it from me. And I would do more and more to try and get that feeling back, And all I would do is burn myself out, and I'd be resentful of my coworkers because I took on all these tasks that really weren't mine. And I didn't know how to give them back, so I just switched jobs. Started it over again. Lynn Forrest says, rescuers often gain satisfaction by identifying with their caretaking role. They're generally proud of what helpers and fixers they are. Often they're socially acclaimed or even rewarded for what's seen as selfless acts of caring. They believe in their goodness as chief caretakers and see themselves as heroes. But really, rescuers are classically codependent and enablers. They need victims to help, and they can't allow the victim to succeed or to get better because then the victim won't need them anymore. And they use guilt to keep their victims dependent and feel guilty themselves if they're not out rescuing somebody, taking care of somebody. It's like Lynn Forrest says, behind it all is a magical belief. If I take care of them long enough, then sooner or later, they will take care of me too. Common phrases for the martyred rescuer are, after all I've done for you, this is the thanks I get. Or no matter how much I do, it's never enough. Or if you loved me, you wouldn't treat me like this. Boy, some of those phrases really hit home for me. So you're playing the rescuer role if you take on more work or duties, even when other people are responsible. You attract others who seem incapable or unwilling to help themselves. There's always a crisis needing your help. And you feel like you've let others down if you're not able to take away their suffering or fix their problem. But I can tell you from experience, the feeling of being indispensable, it's kind of intoxicating. But at the same time, you're so busy meeting other people's needs, you don't have time or energy to meet your own. My rescuer thought process was, if I ask for help, I am needy and helpless. Therefore, asking means I'm not enough. So I'll prove I'm enough by helping others. And I learned that trying to prove I'm enough by helping others really kind of backfires because you can never do enough for people. There's always more you can do. And they'll start taking your efforts for granted. Sometimes they won't even appreciate your efforts in the first place because they didn't need your help. So there's a fine line between being helpful and being a rescuer. And once you slip into the rescuer mode, you kind of relinquish your ability to choose your response at any given moment because you're just driven. You crave taking charge and ensuring everything goes smoothly, however you define smoothly. It's not a conscious choice of, can I help them out? Can they do it themselves? Is this really what they want? You don't even stop to think. You just jump in and start doing. The third role is the persecutor. If you're full of self-judgment like me, you're also going to be playing that persecutor role sometimes. You'll fall into criticizing and blaming. The stance of the persecutor is, it's all your fault. Thus, instead of being supportive to the victim, they attack or belittle. You know, if you weren't so dumb or lazy or stupid, you could do this. When you're in the persecutor role, your insecurity makes you want to be in control. Kind of my need to be right often put me in the persecutor role. You know, at work, I came across as authoritative and domineering. And other persecutors might come across even as rigid, critical, angry, or unpleasant. You know, they may enforce rules or standards that are very rigid and maybe even unfair. They see, well, this is how I would do it, so this is how everyone should do it. And if they don't do it my way, there's something wrong with them. And that gives them a feeling of superiority. Well, if they were as smart as me, they would be doing it right. But at the same time, it contributes to the victim's sense of helplessness because you're putting them down. So you'll know you're in the persecutor role if you find yourself bullying, preaching, threatening, blaming, lecturing, interrogating, or even outright attacking. In terms of resilience, persecutors can't bend, they can't be flexible, they can't be vulnerable, and they can't be human. It's not okay to be perfectly imperfect if you're a persecutor, because they fear the risk of being a victim themselves. Persecutors deny their vulnerability the same way rescuers deny their needs. Persecutors yell and they criticize, but they don't actually solve any problems or help anyone solve the problem. They're too focused on what's wrong. So those are the three roles in the dreaded drama triangle. We've looked at the toxic nature of these roles and how they perpetuate our unhealthy patterns of interaction and how they keep us stuck. Next session, we'll be exploring how to transform these toxic roles into empowering ones. Mindfulness can be a powerful tool for breaking free from these roles. In essence, mindfulness provides the tools for self-awareness, emotional regulation, healthier interactions, thus making it easier to step out of the drama triangle and foster more balanced, constructive relationships. Until next time.